I woke to bells ringing strange changes and Tullia calling my name. Not in a happy way. For a moment, I fancied I was back at Edhar. But when I opened one eye, just a slit, all I saw was Trailer.
My God!
Tullia exclaimed from terrifyingly close range. I came awake to find her standing at the foot of my bed. No bubble suit. The look on her face was as if she'd found me sprawled full length in a gutter outside a bordello. I did some groping and satisfied myself that most of me was covered by my bolt.
What is your problem?
I muttered.
You have to move now, instantly! They are holding up Imbres for you!
That sounded serious, so I rolled out of bed and chased her out of the trailer. The airlock had been torn down. We trampled the plastic. She led me across the courtyard under an arch and down some ancient Mathic catacomb, whose far end was sealed off by an iron grill, the sort of barrier used to separate one Math from another. It sported a gate, which was being held open by a nervous-seeming Fid who clanged it shut behind us as we burst through into a long, straight lane guarded by twin rows of enormous page trees. This lane cut through the middle of a forest of them. My feet had grown soft from wearing shoes, and I kept mincing over stones and root knuckles, so Tullia outran me. On its far side, the page tree wood was bordered by a stone wall 30-odd feet high, pierced by a massive arch, where she paused to catch her breath and wait for me. As I drew near, she turned to face me and raised her arms. I gave her a big hug, lifting her off the ground, and for some reason both of us broke out laughing. I loved her for that. She was the only one I had met who was responding to Orlo's death with something other than sadness. Not that she wasn't sad, but she was proud of him, I thought, thrilled by what he had done, glad that I had survived and come back to be with my friends once more. Then we were running again, through the arch and into a rolling green splashed with coppices of great old trees that seemed to extend for miles. Stone buildings rose up every few hundred feet, and a network of footpaths joined them. These must be the dowments and chapter houses Leo had spoken of. I was more impressed by the lawns than anything else. At Edhar, we couldn't afford to waste ground this way. The bells were getting marginally closer. As we came around the corner of an especially huge building, some sort of cloister library complex, the precipice finally came in view. Tullia led me to an especially broad tree-lined lane that would take us straight to it, and then I was able to see the Minster complex massed at the base of the cliff. The precipice had been formed when a dome of granite, 3,000 feet high, had shed its western face. Avout had cleaned up the mess below and used the crumbly bits to make buildings and walls. Since no artificial clock tower could compete with the precipice, they had built their minster at the base of the cliff and then cut tunnels and galleries and ledges into the granite above, sculpting the precipice into their clock, or vice versa. A succession of dials had been built over the millennia, each higher and larger than the last, and all of them still told time. All of them told me I was late.
"Imbres," I gasped. "That's your official induction for the Convox," Tullia said. "Everyone has to go through it, the formal end of your peregrination. We did it weeks ago."
"A lot of trouble for one straggler."
She laughed once, sharply, but couldn't maintain it owing to air debt.
"Don't flatter yourself, Raz. We've been doing these once a week. There's 100 other peregrines from 8 different Maths all waiting on you."
The bells stopped ringing. A bad sign. We picked up our pace and ran silently for a few hundred yards.
"I thought everyone got here a long time ago," I said.
"Only from big consents. You would not believe how isolated some are. There's even a contingent of Matterites."
"So I'm with the Diolaters, eh?"